Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are, revealing who you are.
Today we'll continue looking at the difference one life can make when it points others to Jesus. We'll see how faith perseveres even when circumstances seem impossible. And we'll be encouraged to trust God's timing and His power to work in every situation.
We will come before you, Lord, in wonder, wonder. We will fall on our knees and surrender. We surrender to you.
And now, here is part two of Cheryl's message, titled, Taking Jesus to Others.
In John chapter 4, another father came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, "My son is dying." And Jesus said, "Your son will live." The father said, "Thank you so much," and he went off. And when he got home, he found out not only was his son alive, but he asked, "What time did this happen?" It was exactly the time that Jesus said the word. But in this situation, Jairus needs the presence of Jesus. For him at this point, a word won't suffice. He needs the very presence of Jesus with him. And so Jesus begins to walk with Jairus. The throng is all around. They're pushing and shoving still. And suddenly Jesus just stops. He just stops. And he looks around and he says, "Who touched me?" Can you imagine? There's a throng who didn't touch you. They're grabbing, they're pushing, they're jostling. You know, which one do you want? You know, that person, that person, that person, they're all touching you. But this was different. This was the touch of faith. And the touch of faith is not like any other touch. Jesus feels, he stops at the touch of faith. So he looked around. He locked eyes with a woman. She's trembling. And she comes forward. And it says she told the Lord everything. "I've been unclean. I've had an issue of blood for 12 years. I've sought all sorts of physicians and doctors, and they've given me so many remedies, and it cost me all my money. But this thought came to me, if I can just touch Jesus, just the hem of his garment, I'm unclean. I can't touch him physically, but I could maybe just reach down and touch the lowest part of him, probably the tallith." The tallith was this blue tassel that every Jew was supposed to wear that signified his covenant with God. Perhaps, she said, if I could just touch the tallith. It's not even connected to him, right? And it just brushes the ground because I feel like dirt. So maybe if I just go so low and touch the hem that's also gotten dirt on it, I'll be healed. And she said, and so I did. I made my way through the crowd, and I went low, and I reached out, and immediately the flow of blood stopped. I was well. And Jesus said, "Oh, daughter," is there any more beautiful word? "Daughter, we have a relationship. Daughter," it's a restorative word. "Daughter, daughter of Israel." Your faith has made you well. This is because not faith in faith, not faith as a power that she harnessed, but faith in Jesus. Faith that Jesus is able. faith that Jesus is the Son of God who has come into this world to save sinners. Faith in the person of Jesus. That's the difference in the touch. Not like, oh, he's got power, because all those other people were thronging him because he's got power, and nothing happened. But this woman had the touch of faith. I believe in the person and the word of Jesus. Therefore, I am going to look to Jesus. I'm going to go to Jesus with whatever it takes. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. That can also be translated, enjoy your healing. Go in shalom. Shalom, the welfare, the goodness, the grace, the favor of God. Go in shalom. Now, I don't know how Jairus felt at this point. If he was kind of hopping on one foot, like, the time is of the essence. This is my daughter. Yes, lady, him, unclean. Because as a ruler of the synagogue, she wouldn't have been allowed in his synagogue. She, one, is a woman in those days. Two, she was unclean. She was so disqualified. She's the type, if he was a Pharisee, that he would have wrapped his garments around and said, oh, I'm not touching this. She's not touching me. And he has to stop and hear her whole testimony when his 12-year-old daughter is on the verge, the very brink of death. And as they proceed from this delay, one of the servants from Jairus' house comes and says, don't you like this? Your daughter's dead. How blunt, how unfeeling, how uncaring. I'll never forget, we lived in England. And it was, it was on a Sunday morning. And Brian came into the room and he said, Diana is dead. I was like, what are you talking about? What world are you in? You know, what is this? And he's like, Princess Diana has just died. He knew I really loved her. I thought she was so cool. I kept praying that I'd run into her and we'd become friends and I could lead her to Jesus when I lived there. Oh, come on. You thought the same thing, but you're thinking about Kate Middleton. And I was just like, Brian, I don't think that's the best way to present it to me. I don't like the first sentence. But, you know, here's this man just got to deal with the facts. You know those people that are just such realists? Well, dead. Why are you trying? Stop it. Dead. That's what he did. Your daughter's dead. End of story. And then he says, why bother the teacher anymore? Quit bugging Jesus. He's a teacher. He's got people to teach. Quit bothering Jesus. You're an annoyance to Jesus. Haven't you heard the devil say that? Those very words? This situation is dead. Stop praying about it. Stop trying to seek the Lord about it. It's dead. Stop annoying Jesus. You know what? Jesus is not annoyed. I love that I can tell Jesus the same information 5 times over, and he doesn't go, you told me that in the last prayer, in the last prayer, in the last prayer, like some men do who will remain nameless. You already told me this. You already told me this, my kids. Mom, you told me this. So, Jesus doesn't get annoyed. You know how we as women will tell the whole story, but then we'll remember details, so we have to start again, tell the whole story with a new detail. Then we walk away and we find another detail, so we have to go back and do it, you know, whole story. No, no, this is a new one because there are details that I left out at the first one that you're going to get now. And they're just like, no. Jesus is not annoyed. He's not annoyed. He's not annoyed with Jairus. He's not annoyed with this desperate father. I think Jairus at that point looked at Jesus like, do you want me to go away? Is it over? Are you done with me? And Jesus said to Jairus, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear crowd out faith. Only believe. I love that he didn't have any instruction, because it seems like every time I go to do something, there's a booklet of instructions. Everybody's always giving me instructions. Do this, do that, read this way, do that, pray this way, do this. I get so tired of instructions. Do you get tired of instructions? Well, you can't even put together a bookcase without instructions. You buy something from Amazon, it comes with instructions. Some of them even come with a DVD, you know, or you have to go to a website just so you can put this thing together. I get frustrated with that. But this is simple. Only believe. It's that simple. Only believe in Jesus. Only keep your hopes right here. Don't put them anyplace else. Don't lose heart. Only believe. Women, are you set free by that word? Only. Have you been thinking you had to do this and you had to do that to please God? You know, you have to pray through the temple to get to prayer. You know, some people are like that. You got to start in the courtyard. Got to start with Thanksgiving. You know, and then you move on. Are you so tired of people putting stipulations on everything when Jesus is saying only believe? Because you see, everything that we're supposed to do, everything we need to do, it all comes from this first point, only believe. Everything is a product of our faith and our attachment with Jesus. Only believe. Now, he didn't tell Jairus, only believe because your daughter's going to be made well. He didn't tell him what he was supposed to believe. Only believe. Just believe in me. I'm not asking you to believe the outcome or what's going to happen, but simply only believe in me. At this point, Jesus turns the throng away. He doesn't allow the throng to follow anymore. He says, nope, you stay here. This is a journey I'm just going to take with Jairus, Peter, James, and John. You, the throng, cannot come any further. You cannot come into this. This is intimate. This is personal. And so Jesus goes forward with just the Father and three of his disciples. And he gets to Jairus' house, and as you know, there's a new throng. These are the wailers and the weepers. They're there to pronounce that this daughter is dead and there's no hope. And Jesus says to them, why are you making all this commotion? She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Well, they're professionals. They're professional mourners. If anyone knows dead, they do. And by Jesus saying she's not dead, he is saying you have no right to be here. And what you're doing is wrong. Oh, we don't like that, do we? You have no right to be here, and what you're doing is wrong. Ooh, fighting words. And what do? It shows the mercenary quality of their mourning. Their tears turn to jeers, right? And their weeping turns to mocking and laughter. Oh, you're stupid. You don't know what you're doing. I don't know. I don't know the Hebrew word for stupid. I'm sure there's many. But you don't know what you're saying. Are you kidding? We know dead. This girl is dead. This is a house of death. What are you going to do? You're just going to make the situation worse. Have you ever had that? You want to go in and share the Lord with somebody? Don't do that. You'll only make it worse. Ever have anyone say that to you? Don't bring religion into this. I'm not. I'm bringing Jesus, the Son of God, into this. So now Jesus, with just Peter and James and John, they are led into the house by Jairus, and they are taken into the little girl's room where the mother is. And the little girl lays rigid, cold on her bed. There's no life in her. But Jesus walks up to this corpse, and he takes the little girl's hand. And he says, Talitha kumi. which in translation, little maiden arise, but it's even more poignant than that. Because what he's really saying, and I love this, little lamb, wake up. Little lamb, wake up. And the little girl's eyes flutter. She sits up and she gets out of bed immediately. And the mom and dad are looking there just fully astounded. Can you imagine? Can you put yourself in that situation just for one moment? A situation you thought was dead, was over, no life to it. And Jesus has come and spoken into the situation, and suddenly there's not only life, but there's animation. She's up, she's standing. And Jesus says to the parents, now get this, don't tell anyone. You're like, what? The greatest thing in my life just happened and I can't tell anyone. No, don't tell. This is just intimate. There are exploiters out there. I don't want this exploited. This is just intimate. They'll see for themselves. Those mourners, when she goes dancing outside this house, they'll see. I used to have an arch book. Do any of you remember arch books? They were the ones that had these really corny poems, and one, they're paperback, and one page, two pages would be colored, and then the next two pages would be black and white, and then the next two pages would be colored. They used to be, in my day, this tells you how old I am, 25 cents. These Bible books, and my mom used to buy them for me. There was a Bible bookstore on 18th Street in Costa Mesa that my mom used to take me to. And she liked to shop, and she was such an avid reader. And she would be picking out a book, and so she'd say, you can pick out one book for yourself. And I picked up Jairus and his daughter. And I remember the picture in there, still, the colored picture of the little girl dancing after Jesus had spoken and taken her hand. And I still remember, I remember reading it when I was sick and just thinking, Jesus, I want to dance. I want to dance before you. So, and then Jesus gave some practical advice. One of my favorite lines in the Bible, things that Jesus said, give her something to eat. I love food. And I love that Jesus was aware not only of the spiritual need, but the physical need. Give her something to eat. She needs strength. So what is the lesson for us in this 21st century as fix-it women? What is it the Lord is seeking to say to us? First of all, your powers, your resources, and your remedies are limited. Maybe you're saying, Cheryl, I know that. Boy, do I know that. The brokenness in this world and with the people you know is much worse than you realize. It is more complex. It is deeper. It is stronger and more powerful than you bargained for. There is only one healer who can mend the issues of life. Only one who can give life to death, Jesus alone. So what must you do? You must simply resolve to get that person to Jesus. This is your responsibility. But first, you must get Jesus in you. First, see, Jairus had to be in the presence of Jesus. The woman had to reach out to Jesus. You can't take Jesus anywhere unless he's with you and in you. You have to be committed to Jesus. Without faith in Jesus, you're no good to anybody. You need Jesus in you with his full authority, with his full strength. And you know what happens when Jesus is in you? Your touch is the touch of Jesus. Your word is the word of Jesus. Your love is the love of Jesus. Your embrace is the embrace of Jesus. I remember praying before, like, Father, I'm going into this situation. Actually, it was Sunday, teaching Sunday school. Let the kids experience Jesus in me. When I hug them, let them feel the hug of Jesus. When I affirm them, let them know they are so loved by you. Let me be so filled with you that all those around me are experiencing Jesus. Are we living like that as Christians? Is that the demeanor of believers right now? Are we criticizing? Are we comparing? Or are we being filled? As it says in Ephesians, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled, continually filled with the Spirit. Because we are no good to anyone unless Jesus is in us. Jesus went to Jesus. It incurred a risk of reputation. It was inconvenient. It was uncomfortable. It meant leaving his home, which probably looked like irresponsibility to many. It meant acknowledging his helplessness publicly. It meant enduring and pressing past the exploitive crowd. It meant going low so that Jesus couldn't miss him. It meant begging. It meant worship. But he needed to invite Jesus into the brokenness in his home. He needed Jesus to come and touch the brokenness in his home. It meant delays. It meant interruptions, which were actually faith builders, because Jairus obviously was not alone. Others were suffering, and Jesus mended them. It meant looking to Jesus and placing Jesus' word above the word of the realist, above the word of the blunt. It meant saying, Jesus, your word is the ultimate authority. It meant defying convention and removing those from his household who pronounced the situation hopeless and the daughter dead. It meant allowing Jesus into the most intimate place and allowing Jesus to be Jesus to his daughter, allowing Jesus to do what Jesus wanted to do in that situation, allowing Jesus to reach out, to touch, and to speak. How desperate does the brokenness have to get before you seek Jesus? Before you are desperate, desperate to take this brokenness to Jesus or bring Jesus into the brokenness? How desperate? You know, we're always trying to find, you know, if we only had a better leader, if we only had a better church, if we only had a better, you know, system of government, if we only had a better doctor, if we only had a better lawyer, if we only had a better medicine, if we only had a better remedy, a better practice, if only I was better shape, doing more exercise. The answer is the person of Jesus. It is not only getting Jesus into you, but seeking to be in the presence of Jesus. When Jesus is in us, we have the presence of Jesus, and we can take Jesus to all the broken places and broken people. And that is what broken things need. They need Jesus. So finally, dear fix it friends, it's time to lose faith. Lose it in yourself. Lose faith in your remedies. Lose faith in all those suggestions. And look to Jesus. And do not be afraid. Only believe.
The Lord often works through simple acts of faith and obedience.
As we bring our concerns, our loved ones, and our burdens to Jesus, we discover that He is more than able to meet every need. May we continue to trust Him and share the hope we have found in Him with others. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, Cheryl begins a new message titled Provoked to Faith. We do hope you'll make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com.
We will come before you, Lord, in wonder, We will fall on our knees and surrender. We surrender to you.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.